Just to confirm, so that is Min Min, and I need to pick this up because I'm never going to be able to look at myself in the mirror again.
You can say it, but it's not getting in, put in the podcast. Go on, say it.
Min Min, and it was Minecraft guy, and I've had like 5 hours sleep, so that's the reasoning I'm giving it. So shameful.
Well, I feel better, and I hope you do too. Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 535. My name's James Gilmore. Joining me today is Matthew Ford.
Good morning.
It is for me, because I slept. You, on the other hand, seem to have been up suckling at the teat of Disney and games.
What a night. What a night, honestly. Honestly, I haven't had that much hype all year round with everything cancelled, events and everything. It felt like the closest to E3. Not that I've ever been, but like, you know, the watching it from home and all that sort of thing. It was mental.
I did my usual trick of not at all staying up to watch the Game Awards or any of the announcements, because I find those shows interminable. Having been to E3 and all the rest of them, you're just like, right, this is a fun for novelty, but ultimately I will wake up the next day, I will watch the 5 to 10 trailers that matter, and that'll save me 5 hours.
That is the smart thing to do, to be honest.
But before we even get into the announcements and the news and the stuff like that, I know that there was a lot of Disney chat online, and like, you can't see Matt at the minute because we're on the podcast, but he was like chomping at the bit and hopping in his seat. Let's talk about the Marvel and the things into Star Wars. So you have 60 seconds. We have 60 seconds to discuss Disney things. What do you want to go with? Choose carefully.
Oh my God, there's so much to announce in there. I mean, what? 10 Marvel series, 10 Star Wars series, 15 Disney/Pixar properties.
Too many Star Wars series, Matt. Too many. I'm enjoying The Mandalorian. Mando is very good. It's the best Star Wars thing since Empire Strikes Back, really, let's be honest.
Or Rogue One.
However, no.
I like Rogue One.
But 10 of them at once makes it very difficult to focus on any of them, and I just get this kind of overall Blair feeling. But, spoilers notwithstanding, because they put it up there now, Ahsoka Tano series, I'm interested in that. That could be cool. Mm.
The thing is with Marvel, I trust them. I trust Kevin Feige. You know, he could put out one thing a week. I'd trust him, and I think it'd hold up the quality. And we'll see when WandaVision comes across in the first series and everything like that. But Star Wars, I feel like less is more.
It could be oversaturation, I agree. It seems like too much. On the other hand, I've decided that all I want is long-form, low-stakes Star Wars, which is very pulpy but looks great, which is what The Mandalorian is. I'm sick of the magic bloodline super king, queen, Jedi stuff. The Jedi suck. The swords are good, the powers are good, but the monastic stuff and the self-flagellation and the endless meetings, it turns out that the Jedi are just a bit rubbish. So I'm happy to stay away from them for as long as possible and then just like explore like really small, heisty, scummy, the underbelly of the Star Wars universe. That's all fine. But 10 at once? How am I supposed to gauge excitement for all? Just give me 2 and then spoon feed the rest out. When they just go 10, my interest level, it kind of dips. So I'm just like, I feel tired before I've even seen any of it.
Yeah, I know. It's difficult because we'll all watch it. That's the problem. So it is on us, I feel like. But we'll have to see. Again, if they hold up the quality of like The Mandalorian, I'm in. So we'll have to wait and see. I did actually think like Patty Jenkins getting a film's exciting, who does Wonder Woman, doing the next one, I believe. And then we've got one from Taika Waititi, which I am hugely looking forward to.
Yeah, so there's your Disney, like Star Wars, whatever it is, chat.
Thank you for humouring me.
Thank you. Sorry, we don't need to hype any of that stuff more than necessary, but like, slow down, folks. One at a time. I can't be interested in 25 things at once. It's just all
Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Miss Marvel,
Silence! Anyway, games. So this week, we're going to be taking a look at a little bit of news involving a very big character coming to Fortnite, the arrival of Project X Cloud over there on the App Store. Finally, not now, but later, maybe. We've got other news as well. We've got a whole bunch of new releases. Got the likes of Rush Royale, got BioInk Redemption, and only bloody League of Legends Wild Rift, potentially one of the biggest mobile games of the year. But first, the news. We'll start the news section with the exciting news that the best platform to play Cyberpunk 2077, the brand new and most anticipated RPG in recent memory, is on mobile.
What a twist.
Yeah, I know. So, try and play it on your base PS4, see what happens with the appalling resolution and everything popping in after 20 seconds and people standing with their arms out in the Christ position in a very eerie and creepy way.
Did you see that Jurassic Park video going around? It was like the one that for No Man's Sky, I did. The start, yeah, where it all the da-da-da, and then it just goes to wonky music.
Yeah, so obviously it's come out. We're not ignoring the fact that it's been a big release and it's been beset with massive amounts of issues that for some reason gamers have been trying to say don't exist or don't matter or I don't know. It's been horrible and weird in that way that really big, massive anticipated releases where everyone's decided it's a 9 out of 10 without actually ever playing it. And then they shout at everyone else who has played it for offering any kind of valid criticism. Well done, everybody. We're doing our reputations fantastic work. Thing is, though, best place to play it is on mobile because it's currently available on Google Stadia. And you can play Google Stadia on mobile. And Google Stadia's build is going to be the highest end PC build, which is currently the most stable version of the game because the PS4 versions and Xbox versions are struggling massively. So if you want the best cyberpunk experience, play it on your mobile. There you go.
I mean, good for Stadia. They've needed some luck, do you know what I mean? Like, they've had a rough time of it. I mean, a lot of it's on their self, all the decisions and lack of long-term strategy thinking, but I'm glad to see a bit of good news for them.
They've got the big game. They've got it on release, and it's probably running better than anywhere else. So fair play. They played the long game in this case. Speaking of streaming stuff, Project xCloud will finally appear on iOS in beta at some point next year. It was supposed to arrive at the same time as Android. It conspicuously didn't. And we gave it a go on there and thought, like, hey, this would be great to play on your iPad, but Apple clearly aren't going to allow it, are they?
Nope.
And there's been a lot of backing and forthing, and it looks like they've come to some arrangement and it will eventually appear. They didn't say outright whether it's going to be an app or whether it's going to be some kind of like Chrome-based browser solution. I think it'll be an app. I've got to imagine it will be, but either way, it'll be appearing at some point in 2021, which is something to look forward to.
It is. So we came out on Android in what, September? Fully out of
beta? Yeah. It's been months now. I'd like to see the stats. I know it works. I've been playing it and it continues to work, so fair play. I check in every now and then just to make sure. I can see it being lovely to play on a nice big iPad, and I hope they get it all sorted out and that Apple green lights it.
Absolutely. You know, having access to Game Pass on there as well, fantastic. You know, more options for everybody.
Yes, which is what we want. And here's some extra Fortnite options for you, folks. The big man, the man with no name, he does have a name, I think it's John, is coming to Fortnite. Yet another skin is appearing, and appearing before he appears in your beloved Smash Bros, I think. Unless I'm wrong. Yes, I am right. Okay, yeah. So there you go. Master Chief is coming to Fortnite with his boring voice and his boring no face. And his boring green, he's boring, Matt. Master Chief is boring.
Oh, you're not a fan?
It's boring. I'm bored. There's something funny about Master Chief, which is like he's the perfect kind of cipher for gamers, which I think is why it worked. He literally has no face, which is perfect for gaming. So you imprint yourself upon him. You imagine yourself underneath that orange visor. And he has the obligatory kind of American voice thing. I'm against it. Me. And no, I just think he's boring. I think the lore is boring. I don't subscribe to the. I quite enjoy Halo. I've played through all of them. All of them. No, actually, I bailed halfway through the campaign on 5 because it really wasn't good. But apart from that, and I've played them all top to tail, and I've enjoyed them. But the cult of Master Chief, I'm not.
Yeah, compared to a lot of characters these days, he's very much of his time when he came out. I feel like that early 2000s sort of silent character protagonist, everything like that. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. He's in Fortnite. It's bizarre as well because what they're doing hunters this season. So we've had Kratos from God of War. And it's just bizarre, you know, to see these guys finally lining up against one another.
Got Mando. Got the Mandalorian
Mando as well,
in as well.
You know, and Baby Yoda, of course. One of the rumours was people are waiting for a Nintendo representative. People suspect it's going to be Samus Aran from Metroid because she's an actual hunter, and that would make perfect sense.
That makes sense. That's a good
But no announcement yesterday.
Well, you can play the map. The Halo map accompanying it is Blood Gulch, which is going to be available in the creative mode, where you can try as a do a capture the flag mission with it. And apparently, we got Walking Dead characters turning up, Daryl, Michonne, and all of that. But still, don't play. Still, don't really play Fortnite. Although, I dive back in to have a look at something for a video I did over on PG's YouTube channel, which is I wanted to do the best shooters on mobile, which are not Fortnite or PUBG, because that's all everybody is playing. So I had to check in and see where we're at. I'm like, oh, Mandalorian, very nice. So yes, that's your new character news for Fortnite. But the only character news we really care about, Matthew, is new characters for Smash Brothers.
Yes,
who's coming to Smash Bros, Matt?
Oh my god, this is so huge. I'm actually so excited about this one. This is really good. It's Sephiroth from Final Fantasy VII. Sephiroth. I'm a new Final Fantasy fan, so you can't jump on me. I only got into it this year with Final Fantasy VII Remake. And
that's
actually probably my game of the year, personally. I absolutely adored that. So to see Sephiroth jump in is amazing. Like I heard the song One Winged Angel in the trailer. I was like, I recognise that. Why do I recognise that? And then I saw it and I was like, oh, it's happening. That's crazy. Cool. Very cool pick. It's great to have another villain in the Smash Bros. Series. We have so many like heroes and good guys and whatnot. So adding another villain and one of this caliber is so cool. Like, you know, he's one of the most iconic villains in gaming.
He's got the big hair. He's got the big M hair. We're all huge fans of Sephiroth around these parts. Yes, it's true.
Did you see the trailer yourself?
Nope, I ain't seen the trailer.
Kills Mario in it.
About time. Actually, I did see like a low pixel screenshot of that today. I thought it was some kind of mock-up. He actually kills Mario. That's awesome. I'm down with that.
Technically a little bit of a lie, but yeah, it does look like it for a second. He goes to stab him and like it goes to black and he's like, oh my god, like it freeze frames for a second. You're like, what have Nintendo done? Like, how have they allowed this to happen? And then it cuts to it and he's like, the sword's going through like a little bit of his dungarees.
Oh, I see. Very good.
But it was like, that screenshot has obviously been meme to hell already.
Well, it's the ultimate conclusion of the Genova project. I think it was it was always on the card. He had to take out the tiny Italian plumber. Good work.
So he comes in December. He's the third character in the Fighter Pass, which costs $29.99 for six characters, which three of them still remain a mystery. And I will confirm the other characters in a second.
All right, I'm glad you're extremely So Just Cause Mobile is also coming. So the Just Cause franchise is something I've hovered around the periphery of. Like, I know the third one made nice big waves because it was that open world capture points, you know, Ubisoft style thing. But the added bonus to this one was that sort of sky suit where you can parachute in anywhere. And it was a proper, like, mayhem simulator. I remember the same feeling happened when they did Red Faction Armageddon back on... Was it PS3? I think they did it. But the idea was they introduced this whole, like, it's fully destructible. The world is fully destructible. All the buildings, all the walls, everything. And though the game was like, eh, the destruction physics made it a lot of fun to just go around and beat the world to pieces and watch it crumble. And Just Cause, I think, caught the same kind of wave where it's like you can just do mad stuff. It's all about jumping out of planes, parachuting halfway down, ditching your parachute, landing on top of a building, planting a bomb, whole building explodes, you jump off again. Like mad, insane movie stuff.
I always position them in between Grand Theft Auto and Saints Row.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of like between that sort of thing. Not too mad, but a little bit madder than GTA.
And also with a revolution going on in South America.
Well, there is that.
There's a mobile game, Just Cause Mobile, coming at some point in 2021. We've got a trailer, but it is extremely previs and CGI heavy. There's a little chunk of gameplay, and what we're getting here is not the third-person perspective running around, blah, blah, blah. This is a sort of top-down isometric twin-stick shooter, it looks like to me. And so it's not going to be the same game, but I can report a lot of explosions and lots of blowing up buildings, so they are at least trying stay true to the original thrust of the series. The idea, apparently, you've got a multiplayer mode, triple threat, which is a 30-person online mode. Three teams of 10 players battling to secure bases. That's neat.
Yeah, very cool. Offering on-the-go grappling, gliding, and shooting experience, all presented through exhilarating top-down gameplay.
Yes, I do hate this kind of PR blurb. it's obligatory. You've got to write it, but it just sounds so death. But check out the trailer. That's promising. I like the idea of massive online multiplayer battles with everything blowing up. That kind of stuff could be cool. Mm. So that's going to be 2021 App Store and Google Play. And of course, it's going to be free to play because you're not going to get 30 people to play against each other otherwise, are you, folks? Just Cause Mobile coming next year. Other thing to talk about regarding the Game Awards, I suppose, is the actual winners.
Yes, that'd be nice.
And there were a couple of mobile wins as well. So what did well?
Among Us, for one. Yeah, Crush.
Does that count as mobile?
It's on mobile.
Cross-platform. Yeah, but...
Yeah. It does well on mobile. But yeah, it won Mobile Game of the Year, so...
Oh, all right then, fine. I always feel a bit cheated when it's a cross-platform game, you know?
Yeah, I get that. It was up against, you know, Call of Duty, Genshin Impact, Pokemon Cafe Mix... And I think Legends of Runeterra?
Well, Call of Duty Mobile technically would be the only real mobile game, like properly exclusive, because of course Genshin Impact is, again, multi-platform, available on everything. But no, Call of Duty Mobile is the only actual mobile.
That's true, yeah. Cafe Mix is on Switch and stuff, yeah.
But I'm not surprised Among Us won because it's, you know, in the same way that I guess... Fall Guys did. It's captured a little bit of a zeitgeist and everyone's gotten into it. I don't know how popular Fall Guys still is. I feel like hype dropped off from that one a bit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, I think it went from Animal Crossing to Fall Guys to Among Us. That's yeah, how I feel like this year's been split up. But yeah, they have definitely dropped off. Speaking of Animal Crossing, I think it won Best Family Game, if I remember right.
It won Best Salve for a trying and terrifying 2020. It was the lockdown antidote, I think, for everybody at the time.
Gonna say, helped us all.
Gave us gardens to explore, even when we didn't have any of our own.
Aww.
Thanks, Animal Crossing. Out and about this week, won't bury the lead. Let's start with League of Legends Wild Rift, which is... one of the big releases of the year, really. So LoL continues to be huge way back from its inception in 2009.
This is its European beta, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're counting it as an out and about, really, because it's now available in most regions, basically. So before, we could still play this. People have been playing this for months now. But yes, this is sort of the widespread release, and everyone's just going to dive on board now regardless. So we've given it a go. We're counting it as an out and about release. Everyone's going to be playing it. And I've played the first hour or so, quite impressed with what they've done with it. Mm. It's nice and speedy to get through the tutorials, which is good. It looks nice. My initial concern was too many buttons, which is always my concern with these things. But of all the games, it works out okay. Because they've made some quite nice contextual choices with the buttons. First of all, because it's that top-down, quasi-isometric view, it's not getting in the way of too much. The character's already small on the screen. All the action is happening dead center, so you're not like obscuring the environment with your fingers and a billion buttons in a way that matters. So that's good. And the other thing they've done is, apart from the initial attack button, which is bottom right, you get to upgrade and unlock about like 4 or 5 additional attacks, which kind of circle around that one large button. And when they're directional, it's a case of you just like, you can either tap the power to activate it, but most of them are directional in some way. Mm. So you just put your thumb on it, hold, and then you drag in whichever direction, like a second thumbstick, and then release.
All right.
And that works for all the individual buttons, all the individual powers. And very quickly, that feels dead natural. Mm. So I feel like I've done quite a good job there of putting a lot of stuff into a small area and making it feel okay. Obviously, ideally, there'd be no buttons. And, you know, the screen would be clean. That's the perfect system, but we can't have that. So
yeah, transitioning a game across to mobile is always difficult.
And if you don't have mouse, keyboard, and then your hotkeys all set up, it's a different game.
Exactly. How would you compare this to the main League of Legends series?
Well, in terms of what I've played so far, it feels similar in terms of the flow. In fact, Dan pointed out, because I think he's been playing it as well, like, it feels much more like the original 2009 version of the game when it originally came out, only more slick, sort of more streamlined. But it's always lent itself well to this kind of thing, as was proved by games like Vainglory, which tried to ape that MOBA thing. And it does suit touchscreen. It feels okay. The characters don't move super fast. You're always running from place to place, and there's that respawn gap, which you get when you kind of respawn, and then you have to charge back down your lane to get back to where you were. And it gives you sort of plenty of time to think, and the characters don't, like, shoot across the screen at high speed. So it's got a deliberate pace. And that means there's, you know, plenty of time for you to sit down and manage what you're doing. But also, battles don't necessarily go on for quite as long, it feels like to me.
Right.
At least not from what I've played so far, which again suits the mobile thing a little bit better. So it's all a bit tighter and a bit more focused and all that. Obviously, spending like an hour in this is nothing, because this is one of those games that people lose their lives to. And obviously, as you say, technically still beta. So improvements can be made, changes may happen.
It's been in beta for a while, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Like, they've been working on this for some time. But it's a promising start from what I've played. Mm. And I enjoyed the battles I fought. As this will be most people in the sort of in the US and certainly in Europe's first look at the game, go get it. Free to download, dive in, give it a look. And if you're interested, I mean, like, if you like the game, I think the broadly the response has been pretty good from fans. So, you know, League of Legends Wild Rift is the full name. There's lots of new releases. SteamWorld Quest is one of them. I haven't played this, but this is one of the many SteamWorld games. So we had SteamWorld Dig was one of them, which was, you know, going down on the Nintendo DS, and it was brilliant. You had SteamWorld, that kind of bit by bit. It played out like XCOM, but in 2D, where SteamWorld Heist, I think it was, where you're in space doing spaceship stuff.
There was SteamWorld Dig 2 as well on Switch, I think.
There was. They pick a different genre and go with it. And it generally works really well. I got a lot of faith in these guys. And when SteamWorld Quest Hand of Gilgamesh came out last year, I mean, it arrived on Nintendo Switch, or they did the trailers like a year back. They've gone with an RPG, sort of card-based RPG. It looks charming as hell. I haven't played it. It's now available on mobile. And I'm looking forward to playing it because I just trust what these guys do. They're a good lot. It's currently iOS and Switch are the platforms you can get it for. I don't think it's available on Android, but you'll have to double check. Something I've been catching up on, though, it came out last month, I think a few weeks back. Anyway, XCOM 2, the collection, appeared.
Yes. Which is, did we not talk about that?
I don't think so. I mean, we might mention it when it first arrived, but I hadn't played it.
Ah.
And I have since played it because we did the review over on PG's YouTube channel. And yeah, like I wondered if it would work the same way or similar as the original XCOM port did. And to be fair, it does. It's pretty much feels, you know, pretty much exactly the same as that original port of the first remake did. Mm. Only difference this time is more options. You've got like the ability to pick up enemy weapons, which you didn't have before. You've got the additional wrinkle of the aliens are already here, they've invaded and you're trying to overthrow them, so now you're part of a resistance group rather than fending off the aliens, you know, flying in on their saucers and all that. Downside is the graphics. Like, graphics take a hit again. Quite a lot of a hit. More than I expected, maybe. Even playing on something like a fairly recent iPhone. It looks very similar to the original port, actually, and I thought there might be a bit of a step up, but there isn't. But that said, I'd much rather sacrifice the graphics to keep the gameplay smooth, which it is. So it's actually still a really good way to play it. My only downside here is I think it's like £25 or something.
Wow, yeah. It's not cheap, is it?
No, and you can buy the original for... You can buy XCOM 2 for like a fiver everywhere else. Yeah. And that's such a big markup, you know.
So you really want it on mobile to get it here.
Yeah. And it works like great. And it's a really good game to play on tablets on the sofa and stuff like that. I really do think it's one of the good platforms. Much better than playing on a console, to me. Mm. Like, I think it is one of the best platforms to play on. But given the... You know, the fact it's an old game now, this has been out for years, and, you know, 25 may be a bit of a high target to hit, so...
I maybe should jump in. I really enjoyed, I've tested it a little bit and had a few goes, and, you know, this is very light-wise, but I played Mario Plus Rabbids, and that is based on XCOM games, and
I had
a fantastic time with that, so I think that style game would actually suit me.
Even if you're not super into all the strategy, it's a bit crossover, because there's only, like, four or five people in your squad. It makes it different to like Rome Total War or something.
Okay.
It's got a more focused feel and it's a bit more narrative driven and objective driven as well. I like it, and I'm not even super into those games. So give it a look if you have the money lying around, or check out the review if you're not sure on the old YouTube.
I thought you were going to say take out a loan for it.
No, well, we've got a few other things that popped up this week. I know you haven't had a chance to play a lot because you've been uber busy. Mm. Haven't you?
I've just been continuing with the Pathless, which is amazing and gets better every time I complete a little puzzle and everything. Yeah, it's very good.
The bow and arrow hawk game.
Correct, yeah.
Splendid. Good. Oh, I'm glad that's continuing to branch out. That's cool. Well, if you fancy something that is way too on topic for my liking, BioInk, the sequel to the BioInk is the original game. BioInk Redemption is the sequel that has just appeared over on iOS, which is literally a game about biological plagues and warfare.
I watched the trailer to this. It's something else.
Bit on the nose, isn't it? Mm. So BioInk came out in the wake of Plague Inc. and things like that. And it proved quite popular. They released this version, the sequel, on Steam as BioInk Redemption. Now it's available on iOS and Android. And yeah, you're basically a doctor and you're dealing with patients. And it's you, like, either curing viruses and bodily problems by looking at, like, a person, and they're all in, like an animated x-ray you can see inside them, and you're messing around with them and poking, prodding, injecting things, removing other things, doing analyses. And there's sort of campaign lines involved where one of them, you can be a good doctor and try and cure people. Or the other one is you can engineer the super virus that kills the universe. And I don't know, in this pandemic world, it just all feels a little bit close to home to me.
Yeah, I get that. But what would you go for? That's the choice. Would you go the nice campaign route, save some lives, or would you?
Oh, no, I would murder everyone with a plague, obviously. But no, just for catharsis. Like, we've all spent so long, all of our waking hours are consumed with how can we prevent this and how can we sterilize everything we touch and all that stuff. It would be nice just to kick back and, you know, unleash a little bit of a bioterror.
Why not?
I think so. It's performed pretty well and got lots of good reviews on Steam. It's just out now, and we'll be taking a look at this as well. So BioInk Redemption, that's out to download, I believe, for free. Rush Royale is the other one that appeared in the list, which kind of made my heart sink a bit, because I'm like, is this going to be a clash of Kingdom Rush and Clash Royale? And it's exactly that. So it's a tower defense, but it looks like Clash Royale. Having said that, other people have played it and says it's actually quite good. So It's very streamlined and the cartoony style suits it, and it sort of plays well. And, you know, it works, even though it is derivative of these two other things. So that's free and maybe worth a look, Rush Royale. And there's something that I think Jupiter's reviewing at the moment, which is Orwell's Animal Farm.
Oh.
Do you see this? It's like...
I did have a quick... So it's obviously based off George Orwell's.
Oh, it's a full-on adaptation of the book.
Okay, right.
Right down to talking animals and you being in the farm. But it's putting you in control of the farm and you have to manage it. And I think it's doing that thing where it's like, all right, then let's show you how easily these things can fall apart. How an ideal idea of a political system of let's everybody be equal and let's everybody work together to get things done, and how quickly that turns into the very famous some animals are more equal than others line.
So you're not actually playing as the animals, you're playing as the...
Yeah, you're taking control. You're, like, acting as overlord of the farm.
I was up for Animal Revolution.
This topic, 1917 era Farmville, I guess, is one way to look at it.
It's a good way to put it, yeah.
But it's done, like, almost, like, storybookish way as well. Like, there's... I thought it was just, an interactive story, retelling of the thing. But it's more than that. It's actually much more game. Jupiter's playing it. I understand she thinks it's very good at this point, but we'll see what happens with the review comes later. So go and have a look. It's £9.99. Again, it's proper pricing for this. No messing around. And if you're one of these people who says, I don't like politics in my games, this is not going to be for you. But if you like good literature, then it might be. So
give it a shot.
Okay, I think that will do us for this week. Kind of race through the new releases there, but we've got to, A, turn around and record the podcast next week, which, are you not going to be around for that, Matt? Are you already on holiday by then?
I'm around next week.
You are?
I don't know what my schedule is like. It is all crazy around here, rushing towards Christmas.
We'll definitely get next week's podcast out and maybe try and sneak in an extra special kind of look back at the year kind of deal as well to go out over Christmas. That would be really nice. But we shall see. In the meantime, thank you all for listening. Remember to subscribe and the likes and all that. And we will see you next time for more gaming chatter. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.